So my name is Seven. I go by Maximoff, but legally it's still Fisher. But figuring it out. But my pronouns are he, they, and I'm a senior here at St. Mary's. I'm an ethnic studies major and a dance minor.
Okay, so we're in April and Transgender Day of Visibility just happened. There seems to be in like around the nation, I would say, like maybe we're hearing about more transphobia now, and maybe in part that's happening because there's more trans visibility than before, and there seems to be some pushback and fear around that. First of all, like what do you make of that?
I guess for me, because being in the LGBTQ community myself, like that was one of the things that I wanted to kind of get more knowledge on, know more about, because just even in my understanding of being in the community, there's not a lot of conversations about trans visibility and like the trans identity. So that's always been something, especially when I got to college more, was kind of learning about people's transitioning, what it's like having your dead name and all these things. So in my time in college, I've learned a lot about people who identify as trans or have that lifestyle. And I kind of heard about transphobia like even in high school, but it just wasn't talked about as much as it is now. And I don't know, it's something that does make me sad too, just because the fact that people have the ability to be able to choose who they want to identify as and are treated horribly because of something they want to do for themselves. It's unfortunate that that's still something that happens even today.
And part of the kind of discussion that happens around that is around pronoun usage, right? Like, I heard somebody who happens to identify as a black woman and a Christian, and she said, well, other people have gone through much worse things. So if an LGBT person can be very outspoken, then as a woman of this identity and who's a Christian can be outspoken too, was her comment. So you're somebody who uses he, they pronouns, and you happen to be black, and do you identify as part of the LGBT community? So what do you say to somebody like that?
I guess for me and growing up too, it's like everyone is gonna have their opinion, and I think that if you feel that you can say what you feel and what you believe in, that's fine. But I also feel like at the same time, you should be prepared that there's going to be people who aren't going to be able to see how you see things. And something I've tried to learn in my intersectionality is there's going to be people that understand you and there's going to be people who don't. So the best thing is to try to at least see where they're coming from and try to lessen that, like, oh, well, they see it this way and I see it this way, so we can't interact. And I think when it comes to that, like, there's gonna come times where you're like, I'm gonna express myself, and if you understand it, you understand it. If you don't, that's okay, because there are people that do value kind of what your experiences are and what you're going through. So with people that are like that, for me, I kind of just say, like, if that's how you see things, you're entitled to believe what you believe just as much as I am. Just as long as we're not trying to harm each other in the process, it should kind of be seen as a, well, how do you see things? And then you try to look at how you as yourself look at things and try to find a middle ground. And if there isn't if there isn't a way for a middle ground to be found, then at least have the respectability to be like, I can respect where you're coming from if you can respect where I come from, and we can just leave it at that.
great. And I'm glad you're talking about intersectionality, because I think that that sort of is making, like, it's not looking at that aspect. So it's sort of not, so in that example of the parent I talked about, she's separating out racial identity from gender identity. Mm-hmm. But everybody has a racial and a gender identity.
Yeah.
And they even have a religious identity, too.
Mm-hmm.
So do you think, could you possibly be a Christian Black person who also identifies in the trans community, for example?
Yeah. I definitely believe, like, that is possible. I remember I had seen, like, a couple years ago, there were churches that were also showing, like, their support for the LGBTQ community. And I remember kind of the shock I had, because I was like, I haven't seen anything when it comes to being Christian where, like, there's that acceptance. Where, for me, I've been able to find churches where they're like, we are also accepting. And that always makes me feel good, because I'm like, okay, I don't feel like I have to separate this part of myself from that aspect. So it's definitely possible to be able to have your Blackness, your religion, your gender identity. There are ways to be able to have those spaces together. It's just unfortunate that there aren't many people who can see that being a thing, and that's kind of the hard thing about where we are in this country right now. It just feels like there's not enough people being able to see that there's many components of an individual. People are just seeing, oh, well, you're only this, when that's never been the case, because, you know, the U.S. is a melting pot. There's so many people and religions and identities here, and I think for whatever reason, people kind of just try to shut that out. Why that's the case, there's so many reasons. But I just think that if we're able to just look at people for who they are and who they want to be, it makes it easier for there to be less destructive interactions that we're seeing today.
I love that. And it's getting beyond, I mean, I think what you're saying, it's like, whether or not we want to talk about intersectionalism, we all have, these are just three facts about us. We all have a racial identity, a gender identity, a religious identity. Even if we're atheist, it's still an identity, right?
Yeah.
Hopefully at some point we can have some room to acknowledge those parts.
Yeah.
The other part of intersectionality is, like, I'm thinking of the Audre Lorde quote, which I hope I can get right, but it's like, there's no such thing as a single-sided issue, because there's no such thing as a single-sided person. I think I'm butchering it a little bit.
Yeah.
But basically making the point that everything and everyone is connected. And so why should people in the LGBT community advocate for racial justice? Why should people in the Black Lives Matter community advocate for trans rights, for example, and et cetera, et cetera?
Yeah. I mean, if we're not able to bring about all of ourselves to the things that we support and that we're a part of, then there isn't that heart, that passion that comes in being a part of a community or a part of a social justice cohort or any of those kind of things. So I feel like if we're unable to acknowledge those things, then there isn't any, I feel like there's not a lot of headway that gets brought into bringing that change, because you're not bringing your full self to that. So I definitely, when I'm seeing, like, Black Lives Matter saying, like, trans rights matter, and the LGBTQ community lives matter, like, looking at those things, that always makes me know, like, there is hope and there is passion behind it, because you're acknowledging all parts of yourself when you're doing that kind of work. And if you're not able to, then there's, it kind of takes out that part of like giving to a cause if you're not fully investing your all of you and yourself into it.
Beautiful. And then last couple of questions. So sometimes we say like showing up as your authentic self, mm-hmm. and just sharing your story could be an act of resistance. So what is that? How is showing up as your authentic self an act of resistance?
For me, it allows me to be able to kind of feel more connected. Being Black and being queer and being religious, there's definitely, there's been times where I felt like I couldn't be a part of certain things because I was like, well, I don't feel like I'm giving my full self to it. And fortunately, I've been in spaces where it was encouraged to try to show those different, those parts of yourself, to kind of show that, like, I'm not just one group of people. I can, I'm this part of this group, and I'm a part of this group of people. And when I have all of those together, this is who I get to be. And being able to be my authentic self and talk about my Black experience, but also talk about being in my queerness, and having that ability to talk about, like, my religion too, and being a Christian, because for me,
so you identify as Christian?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I've, at least me growing up, like, they were, we were taught that, like, you know, you love everybody, so that's kind of how I've always seen it. And I've never felt like you couldn't be queer and still be a Christian, and that's never been something for me and my upbringing, where, oh, if you're queer or if you're trans, like, it's a bad thing, like, God will do all the, like, will hate you. I've never seen it that way. So hearing, when I hear people say that, it's always, like, heartbreaking, because I'm like, that's not how it's supposed to be, or that's not how it should be at all either. So all of that to say, like, being able to have those spaces where I'm able to bring in those different parts of myself is always a nice feeling, because there's in that person in the back of my head that's like, well, what about this part of yourself? Like, is where do they get to come in? Do they have a voice? And I think as long as we're able to be honest with ourselves, but also honest with the different components of the things that make up who we are, then that's where we're able to have deeper conversations. Because if we're not even able to look at ourselves and be like, am I acknowledging all the different groups and communities that I'm a part of, how can I try to talk about bringing everyone together if I can't even bring myself together?
That's so beautiful. And then we always have to think about sometimes, like, the people who might seem the most judgmental. I mean, for one thing, I think almost all religions would tell you, like, accept everybody and leave the judgment to somebody else, not us, right? Yeah. But the other piece of it is sometimes the phobic attitudes, really, like, phobia means fear, right? So it seems like there's a fear from within that sometimes people project.
Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely. Like, I think just having... fear is something that we all carry in one form or another, and I think if we're able to address it and acknowledge it, then it opens the door to have conversations about why those fears are there, why those insecurities are happening. So I think that's kind of where it has to start, is acknowledging, like, well, where is this fear, where is this anger, where is this frustration or insecurity coming from? And being able to voice those things, because that's the other thing, is like, if you're able to acknowledge those things but you're not talking about it or seeking other people who may have knowledge on those things, then it just kind of boils up and it can cause more harm than being able to help and try to resolve those fears.
Beautiful. You're somebody who, in the beginning of your career here as a student, had a different name that you identified by. Now mm-hmm. you've chosen the name Seven, which yeah. is great. My favorite number. And also changed pronouns.
Yeah.
And seem to be standing very tall and happy in your truth. Is what I said okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Sometimes we just speak and we err on the side of asking and we're humble about it and we, you know, correct our mistakes along the way. But I guess my question is, what is the most important lesson you kind of learned on this journey of becoming the person that you are today? Like with the pronouns you use, with the name that represents you best, with the smile that you have on your face?
I think for me, it took kind of going through kind of this place of like, who am I? And I think that question, as simple as it is, it opens up so many like things that someone doesn't think about. I'm like, for me, the number seven was something that like I just connected to, and I was like, if that's how I feel about it, and I feel it brings out a joy, it brings out a happiness, it feels whole, then I should go for it. And I think that was the other thing, is like having that courage to go forward with it. And I think that's something that a lot of people do still try to figure out, and that it's definitely a process. Not every day is easier than others, but knowing that, figuring out the name and changing the pronouns, that was something that for me felt more real than what I was before. And I think that getting to that journey was a process. It wasn't something that just happened in a day. It was a lot of thought, a lot of reflection. And I think when we're able to do that, it opens doors to being able to see, like, well, where will this take me? And having that courage to kind of take that leap of faith.
I lied about the last question because you inspired two more. So I think just kind of circling back on the pronoun issue, so regarding some of the, like kind of ignorant comments that we'll hear sometimes, like, why does that matter? Blah, 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 blah. Like, pronouns, why do they matter so much? For me, that's a rhetorical question, because I think it doesn't really matter if it matters to you personally. If somebody else wants you to use a different pronoun, do your best to use that pronoun. Mm-hmm. It doesn't hurt you, is the way that I try to put it.
Yeah.
But why don't you answer that question? Why does it matter for somebody to use the appropriate pronouns?
I think for me, having someone acknowledge your pronouns is kind of just being able to kind of show that respect, just in general. I know for me, I'm very kind of understanding about my pronouns, so I go by he, they, so it's not, for me, I like to try to look at it as if someone refers to me as he, or if they refer to me as they, like, they're making an effort. And I think that's kind of the premise for me and what I've learned with people going by their pronouns, is just showing that, like, oh, this is who this person is. I kind of look at it as like kind of like your name. Like, if you say someone's name, it's kind of just showing that respect. Like, okay, I mean this new person. This is like that surface level kind of introduction. So
yeah.
I think it kind of just helps people be able to kind of know who they're kind of meeting and bringing into their life or into their circle.
Okay, and lastly, in the who am I question, I think we talked about your major, your year, all this stuff. You're also a dancer, and there's this sort of, I don't know, a fluidity to that, right? There's a rhythm, there's a fluidity, and
yeah.
For me, like, when I hear you talk about the he, they, the seven, I'm kind of feeling the fluidity of that. Is there anything else you want to say about dancing or what gives you joy in life? And anything else you just want to leave people who will listen to this little podcast with?
I guess kind of the biggest thing I would say is being able to do what inspires you. I think that's kind of always been a part of my moral compass, or what I try to go by, is trying to ensure that, is it something that I like, is it something I feel connected to? Because if you're kind of just doing stuff and you're like, I don't know if this is what I want to do, is this something I even care about, then it makes it harder to kind of go through those things and do it to your best. So I know for me, like, one of what I try to think about with anything that I do is like, is this bringing me passion? Is there a passion to it? Is there a joy that comes with it? And then kind of go from there. Because if there isn't those things, then it's kind of like, what am I doing with this? Is this even is it benefiting me, or is it benefiting something else? So that's the biggest thing, is like, if you're going to do something, try to see if it's like bringing you that joy. Is it bringing you the passion that you want?
And last question, I promise this time, what does the rhythm of change mean to you, and how does that apply to your life?
Ooh, rhythm of change. I think when it comes to change, it's also being able to acknowledge that sometimes it's not going to be an easy adjustment. And I think acknowledging that and holding space to that too is something important, because I think people kind of, we have this perception that like change is something that can be good, and it is. And making sure that like you give yourself time to kind of adjust to it as well, because change is an adjustment for everyone. And I think as long as we hold space for ourselves but also for others, and kind of have that patience, I think it makes that change something that comes a little bit easier, is being able to hold space and grace for not only yourself but for those around you. And when you're able to do that, it makes change more impactful for everyone.
Beautiful. Anything else you'd like to add?
I think I have all that. Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.